You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Over the past month, you've been sending in submissions for our Cartoon Cornucopia Contest, 135 of you to be exact, and now the day of reckoning has arrived. The illustrious cartoon editor of The New Yorker, Robert Mankoff, spent days and days and days sifting through all of your entries.
It was a whole lunch hour.
Well, and I hope laughing at a few of them. He joins me now to reveal the winners, whom we will be speaking with over the course of this hour. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here. And
this is not your first Thanksgiving on the show. You've been coming to the show for over 20 years. But the last time, if I remember correctly, or one of the times you were here, you helped us out with a Thanksgiving taste-off. Do you remember that?
So much is a fog for the last 20 years.
I seem to remember
drugs that I did in the 60s are coming back to haunt me. No, I do remember. I do remember.
You brought your own special plastic fork. That's what I remember. So, will you be having a Thanksgiving dinner this year?
We are. We're having a quite an elaborate feast, courtesy of Dean and DeLuca.
Oh, they're it's all takeout Thanksgiving?
No, some of it. Yeah.
Well, you could be buying all the vegetables.
We're not even
and
having it at our
day.
House. It's a set, and you know, we've rented a lot of extra relatives too, just from movies who look better than ours.
Uh huh. And then you post the whole thing on YouTube,
as everybody.
Now, the current issue of the New Yorker is a special cartoon issue, and I guess it was inspired by our contest, or was that just a coincidence?
When I was asked to judge the caption contest, I was just wondering, did you license this concept from us? Because, I'm in charge of the Cartoon Bank. We're usually pretty rigorous about that. But I'm actually happy to see, we started the Cartoon Caption Contest a couple of years ago, and I've seen it in quite a few places now.
Yeah, but we didn't put pictures up and ask them to supply captions. These contestants actually drew the complete cartoons. This is just like the sort of thing that you would get over the transom at the New Yorker.
Fortunately, our caption contest gets between 5,000 and 10,000 entries, so that would break the transom.
Yeah, but they don't have to draw.
No.
How many unsolicited cartoons does the New Yorker receive in a typical week?
How many submissions? I'd say about
I'm not talking about the ones your standard cartoonist. Do cartoons just come in unsolicited?
Well, absolutely. I would say 400 or 500 at least every week.
Really?
Yeah.
That much?
Yeah. And from them,
we should change the name of the show to The New Yorker.
From them, usually that's where the new cartoonists come from. And I encourage people who entered this caption contest to submit cartoons. All you have to do is 10 or 15 cartoons every week for 3 or 4 years, and maybe you'll sell one.
Well, but are you surprised sometimes?
Well, I mean, surprised both ways.
By how lame some of the cartoons are.
I am surprised, and I'm actually sort of delighted. People talk about comic genius. Well, people are good at being funny, and some people are so good they become professional. But one of the things a caption contest, whether it's in our caption contest, your shows, is that, the ability to be funny and to take joy in humor is pretty widely distributed. It's not something that should be confined to quote-unquote professionals.
Well, we limited this to Thanksgiving things. Are holidays good fodder for humor?
Well, naturally, because the main way that humor functions is to you sort of imagine a script opposite the normal script. So since the holidays have such an obvious script and the default condition in our one script is it's good, and the other script it's bad. So humor tends to make it go one way, and then on the back end there's a diminishment of whatever we think is great.
Will you be running lots of Santa Claus-based cartoons in the lead up to Christmas?
I'm sure Santa will make an appearance, and he won't be in one submission that I think we bought is Santa, and a kid is coming up. He's just got his sleeve rolled up, and he says, "Rolex?" So Santa has to be portrayed not exactly jolly and favorably.
But you didn't have Thanksgiving cartoons in this issue.
No, we didn't. We had some before. And in one cartoon issue, we had a whole Thanksgiving spread. Mm-hmm. But we'll make up for next year. Maybe we'll just run all of our thousands of Thanksgiving cartoons this year.
Well, the New Yorker has had a history of recycling all of its stuff. You could just put out a Thanksgiving book.
Yeah, we even turned some of the cartoons into couches and hybrid vehicles. That's great.
My guest is Robert Mankoff, who is the cartoon editor at The New Yorker and also is the man who runs Cartoon Bank, which
I know. He just
makes
a
lot of cartoons.
Reverend Billy saying, you know, don't shop. But I think the gift of humor is very, very appropriate this year.
Now, how did our Cartoon Cornucopia submissions stack up, do you think?
I think they did. I mean, I think they did, you know, very well. They had, I mean, I would, some of them I would edit somewhat. They were maybe a little bit too wordy, a little bit sort of what I would call overdetermined. But they were, I mean, they were funny and they were clever. At least I think the ones we picked were.
Well, it's my sense that some of these people obviously could draw, so they must either be doing cartoons anyway or suddenly reveal all sorts of talents that nobody would have expected.
Well, we're going to find out, actually, because we're going to talk to them. I have a feeling most of them will be certified public accountants, but let's see.
Well, before we go to that first call, and we do have somebody on the line, were you surprised by the quality? Was it hard to sign?
I really wasn't surprised because I have seen this stuff before. And as I said, that when you, on a show like yours, you say, okay, we're going to have a caption, you have an enormous amount of self-selection. It's like the caption contest itself, which I think comes up with pretty good stuff for The New York. You get 5 or 10,000, a million people look at it. And from that, you get some good stuff.
And I can tell you, based on personal experience, sometimes the best captions don't even make it to The New Yorker because I've had the impulse. Others I know have had the impulse, and I thought, gee, that would really be great. And then of course, it isn't.
Well, there's a filter that takes out your captions.
Oh, mine automatically. Maybe we should go to one of our winners. The first one is Dan Gutman, also known as Cartoon Jazz. Uh-huh. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Lenny. How are you?
I'm okay. Now, Cartoon Jazz, is that a name that you've given yourself?
Well, actually, it's a website, cartoonjazz.com, where we have quite a few cartoons covering a wide array of topics or themes.
So when we announced this contest, you were not somebody who said, oh, gee, I'll try my hand at doing a cartoon. You'd already done a fair number?
Oh, yes. We've done quite a few. As a matter of fact, we had a couple of Thanksgiving cartoons right in the oven, so to speak.
I guess you thought this was your best one. It has a decidedly Norman Rockwell bent with a subversive twist, which, of course, Robert, you said, is the way so many cartoons
work. It's combining the football metaphor, really, you know, or script with Thanksgiving. Now, I wouldn't have, now it's got a title also, Happy Thanksgiving, which I don't think is necessary.
No.
You know, I mean, I think
it's
cartoon
kind of self-evident.
I mean, it's saying. I mean, basically, I think it's funny because it takes the Rockwell trope, if you will, and everybody is happy here. But when you actually think about it, what they're doing doesn't seem like it's going to make them all that happy. I mean, there's a guy with the remote, right? What is he doing? Is he going to change the football to a turkey? But it's very well drawn, and I mean, it plays off of that image, and I think it's great. Now, I see it's Gutman and McConnell. Does one person do the ideas, another person do the drawing?
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that because I wanted to mention Aaron McConnell's an artist who works for me, so it's definitely a collaboration.
But we should tell people what it is. The Norman Rockwell, the famous drawing of or painting of somebody presenting a turkey at the table. In this case, she's presenting a football to a lot of people over at the table. And behind, on one side, is a television set. And on the wall is a picture of a running back. But it's quite clear that we're talking about Thanksgiving and really great, good cartoons don't always need captions, do they?
Right? Well, no, I don't think they needed it. And just my own personal opinion, it doesn't need all the other stuff. It's, you know, it doesn't need Thanksgiving. It doesn't need the football guy. I mean, it sort of I mean, I like the cartoon, obviously. I picked it, but I said, well, why have all these clues? You know, one of the things about the New Yorker cartoons and let's say an audience for like the Lenny Lopez show is that let them bring something to it. You know what I mean?
So, sometimes I can't even bring something. Sometimes
you
can. I have no idea
what
the heck.
But people would get this. And
we have consultations with friends. What do you think this means?
Well, I think the more that you bring to it, you know what I mean? Rather than saying Happy Thanksgiving, you see the TV, you see the TV, you see the football player. I would say it's just a little bit too much of an illustration. Although maybe they're playing off of, I can't bring to mind exactly the Norman Rockwell painting. Is there a frame picture up there that has something as well?
I believe it was. By the way, just to give you a little bit more background, yeah. This is one of his most famous paintings. He did the Four Freedoms in 1943 to illustrate the Four Freedoms, and I think that was based on Roosevelt's famous speech.
Right,
and
right.
He raised about $132 million in war bonds, and about a million people saw these four famous paintings, you know, this Freedom of Speech. But
this wasn't one of them.
Yeah, freedom to eat turkey, wasn't it?
Freedom to gluttony.
Freedom
to overeat.
But one of the nice things a cartoon does when it works like this is that it does present sort of a counter world, a fantasy world, where we don't think what the next step is. We don't have to. We don't think, hey, what are they going to do? Eat this foot? Now, there is brain damage which occurs in people who can't get jokes, not just Republicans, who, when they look at stuff like this, they can't switch.
It's just
to
too literal.
Well, they say, it's wrong.
Right.
It should be a turkey. What are they going to do?
Are they going to eat a pigskin?
Yeah. Well, but anyway, I a great job, and I'll certainly go up and look at cartoonjazz.com and steal some ideas if they're good.
Actually, Freedom from Want. It was that painting.
Oh yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
It was Freedom from What? Yeah.
Yes.
I see.
Right.
So that was the Thanksgiving painting.
And thank you so much for talking with us, Dan.
Yeah, thanks.
You're quite welcome, Lenny.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll come back with more of the winners. Robert Mankoff of The New Yorker is here, and we're talking about the cartoon contest that we had, Cartoon Cornucopia, in which we challenged you to come up with some really good Thanksgiving cartoons, and some of them were just terrific. We'll be talking to some of the other winners right after this. And later in the hour, I'll also be talking to a man who suddenly inherited millions of dollars of a family fortune he never knew existed, had lived in extreme poverty. Also, Word Maven Patricia T. O'Connor, and more. This is WNYC. We're also available as a podcast. We're back with Robert Mankoff, who is the cartoon editor at The New Yorker and also the creator of Cartoon Bank, which you can access on the internet by going to cartoonbank.com.
Oh, absolutely.
That's it? It's that simple?
It's that simple, and you can get pretty much any cartoon The New Yorker has ever published, and put it in your newsletter, your presentation, have a print of it, covers too.
Really? But don't you have copyrights?
Well,
People steal those things?
Well, you know, we have sophisticated technology, and also jackbooted thugs will come to your house
and rip that
cartoon from you. But actually, we do have technology where you can copy it easily. I mean, if you want to go through enough trouble to get a screenshot, a lousy picture, you can, but don't.
Our next winner is Gary Henyon. Hi, Gary.
Oh, hello, gentlemen.
So, Gary, do you want to tell us, describe your own cartoon?
Yeah, this is the same idea, isn't it? This is a turkey and dinner and a football game.
And it's the turkey saying, I mean, everybody, the turkey is running the TV.
Right.
He's got his wing out and everybody else is clamoring. And he say, hey, can it wait? I'm trying to watch the game. And I don't think he's going to get to the fourth quarter. I think they'll all be eating sandwiches.
If the Patriots are playing, nobody even bothers watching the fourth quarter.
So, I mean, a good reversal. And once again, cartoons engage in this fantasy. You know, we We have all sorts of fact-checking at the New Yorker, and I once drew a cartoon in 93 where there's a little bird at the window with a vial of pills, and he's saying, "Hiya, hiya, guy, I'm the bluebird of Prozac." And in 93, so they came to me and they said, "The bird is too big." I said, "Well, it's got to be big so you can see the thing." We go back and forth, and I put my arm around the fact checker, Dusty, who's a great person. And I said, "Dusty, I want to tell you something, but don't let it get out. The birds are, none of the animals can talk."
Right.
So, I mean.
Wait, but you remember what happened in 1993 with a cartoon?
If it's my cartoon, you bet. Everybody else is that. No. That's the fun. So, how'd you come up with the idea?
Well, see, I was in the shower.
That's the best place for them. But the paper is so soggy in there, though. Go ahead.
I said, okay, I can do this. What do we have? We have turkey, you know, people watching football games. And then it just popped in there.
Uh-huh.
It made me laugh, so I said, "That's it."
Had you drawn other cartoons?
I was just thinking. I think I can only submit one cartoon, but you know, I had other ideas. I probably would have done one with the therapy couch, which is always great in the New Yorker.
And we have one actually like that, which is similar. I think you sort of ran through the usual situations, and then you try to like combine them. I think that's usually the way everybody does it. And then most people do say there's that, and then whether it's a professional cartoonist or somebody here, that all of a sudden the idea pops.
You know, I just had a New Yorker cartoon idea while we're sitting here, because we're talking about themes of cartoons that have run in the New Yorker for years. You used to have this cartoon where these people where a man would be imagining a woman in the nude for one reason or another.
Right, for one reason.
Well, we could have a turkey imagining another turkey, totally plucked, right?
We could, but what's the motivation? See that?
I know what the motivation is. But this is a family show.
But yeah, I think we're gonna pass on that, Lenny. No.
But you had a good time doing this, Gary?
Oh yeah, this is just a lot of fun. I've always loved the New Yorker. I'm not a professional cartoonist like some other entrants, perhaps.
Yeah.
I used to draw cartoons for my college and newspaper, and used to draw for my friends in 7th and 8th grade.
Well, that's great. I mean, it looks like that. So what do you do now?
Oh, now I do market research.
I see.
But, you know, I've got my wife, Avery, and I are expecting a little baby girl in about 3 weeks. So
oh, that's great.
Maybe I'll start drawing for her, and I'll get back to that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's that sounds great. So just send them along to the New Yorker with,
right.
And did you know that you and all of the winners are going to be sent a pair of coffee mugs that was done for this show, a pair of Leonard Lopecho coffee mugs, illustrated by Roz Chast.
Oh, that's great.
That's fun. I will really love having those.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for participating.
Thanks, Gary.
Our next winner is George O'Connor. Hi, George.
Hi there.
Now, your nom de cartoon is Slappy Guy?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like Slap Happy Guy.
Uh-huh.
How do you
say?
It's
an old nickname.
And I see you signed your cartoon by George with an exclamation.
Yeah, I like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, yeah. So do you do cartoons?
Well, I'm an illustrator and author and illustrator of children's books.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's obvious that you can draw.
Yeah,
this is
a very nice drawing.
Very nicely drawn thing.
And
I've done some graphic novel work, but no real cartooning yet.
There we go. Well, maybe. Now, I do have a suggestion here. Now,
first, let's describe it.
So we see the, why don't you describe it? You drew it.
Okay. I guess it's the aftermath of the first Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
There's a couple of, Native Americans clearing up the table, and they're basically complaining about the mess that their guests have made.
Right, and the caption is, "Look at this mess. Dishes everywhere, and not even a thank you. I'm telling you, next year we do this at their place." Which I think, see the emotion I put into it?
But he laughed at his own joke. I heard George laugh.
That's great. But I would have just really shortened this. You, in other words, you see the mess, so you don't have to talk about it. You say, "Look at this mess, and not even a thank you. Next year we do this at their place." One of the nice things is you could leave out the thank you, but I sort of like things that have a pace. Look at this mess, not even a thank you. Next year we do this at their place. You know, so it has a little bit more punch, especially when you've drawn all this stuff, you don't need it. But
by the way, it could, because she looks unhappy, one of the people holding dishes, It could just be next year we do this at their place.
Absolutely, it could be, and that would maybe be almost like a more of a New Yorker cartoon because it would know that people bring a lot to it. You know what I mean? They're sort of completing half of it rather than explaining all of it. But other than that, it's a great cartoon.
And thank you.
Congratulations. It really is a good cartoon.
And you suggest, Robert, that cartoons have a pace?
Well, absolutely. Usually they, for instance, if there's a surprise gag, you know, at the end, you know, you will have something. Let's say, for example, an Alex Gregory cartoon, also about food. Two women are at a table, and one looks sort of hippie-ish, and she's saying, I started my vegetarianism for moral reasons, then for health reasons, now just to annoy people. So there is a pace, and when you have surprise at the end, you know, surprise, usually you want a sequence of at least two things so that there's something else.
Well, it's setting up a gag.
It's setting up a gag. So you want to set up, but you set up usually with two things.
But in that case, the drawing, it doesn't really matter. You just need two people talking. In the case of this cartoon, George's cartoon, the drawing is
well, the drawing
is
the drawing is setting up the tension. Or the incongruity that has to be resolved in some way. And you don't necessarily want it. You want to actually build that tension a little bit, even after the drawing. Trust me, I do this for a living.
You're a professional.
I'm a licensed humorist. You know, New York State, it's required.
George, thank you so much. Congratulations for winning.
Thank you.
And you'll get your mugs.
Awesome, you know, Roz Chast.
Yes. Roz Chast.
Roz Chast will personally come to your house and pour coffee into those mugs. Roz doesn't know about this.
She did a drawing of me. Now, Roz Chast is not famous for doing portraits that look like anyone. It could be me. It could be Fidel Castro. It could be Osama bin Laden.
Well, see, that's it. It has a lot of
applicability. Anyone who has a beard.
They could be giving it away on their radio shows.
They just have to scratch out the name,
right,
Leonard
Lopate.
Thank you so much. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate talking with Robert Mankoff, the cartoon editor of The New Yorker, and two winners of our cartoon cornucopia contest. We got 135 submissions. Were some of them really bad?
Yes. But that's the nature
I never got to see those.
That's the nature of jokes. You know, if you write jokes for comedy shows, or you do cartoons, you do 10 or 15... You know, you got to do bad stuff to get to good stuff. If you could just do good stuff right from the start, that would be great.
Our next winner is Amy Sherman, otherwise known as 1111 Amy. And I see that you are at a 630 area code. Where is 630?
I'm actually in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. It's a western suburb of Chicago.
Uh-huh. Our signal doesn't go to Glen Ellyn.
Yes, that's true, but the reason I found out about this contest is I have to do a shout out to Daniel Radosh, who runs a New Yorker
anti-caption contest. So I'm surprised yours wasn't more obscene.
Pardon me?
He runs the anti-caption contest, right?
Yes, and a lot of funny people write in there, and I frequent that, and that's how I learned about Leonard's contest. I was thrilled to see you gave us a chance to send something in.
And are you preparing for the holiday?
Well, I'm lucky this year. My sister-in-law is having Thanksgiving, so I'm kicking back and just need to make a little salad and bring it over.
You know, I've spoken to so many people about Thanksgiving, and nobody but me is actually preparing that Thanksgiving.
Well, we'll all be over to your house.
Everybody's planning to come over. Yeah. It is weird. Does everybody in the world know somebody else who's preparing Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, I think there's some computer algorithm which you can use to find out who you know who prepares.
Now, Amy, your cartoon has a decidedly New York edge to it. How did you come up with the shrink setting? Is it because it is one of the traditional cartoon genres?
I think I just kind of dabble in this. First of all, I started more just captioning other people's stuff, and then I figured I'd try my hand at it. But to me, the shrink's office is easy. You can put anything or anyone there and at least try and come up with something. And I decided to put a turkey on the couch. And then I decided, was I going to have the psychiatrist say something or the turkey? And I had a couple ideas and settled on this one.
So it was a whole decision tree which led to this joke, which is the turkey lying on the couch saying, so I need to learn to pardon myself. Very poignant.
Well, with a question mark.
With a question mark. Yes, well, I thought my intonation. But how did you draw this on a computer?
I do. I draw in Photoshop because it's the only way I could possibly draw, because you can erase and redo and re-erase and redo. I could never do ink on paper because it'd be a mess. So to me, Photoshop makes it easy to at least try drawing.
So we're going to send one of the mugs to Photoshop, to Adobe.
Okay.
Now, is what Amy described typical of the process? Do you sometimes come up with an idea of a setting and then have to decide whether you're going to give the words to one or the other characters?
Generally, I mean, one of the main ways that you create humor, it's not a formula because you still have to do it, it's just clash of context. You bring something where it doesn't belong. Humor is all about what's not right or what you don't expect. So, you know, you could put Napoleon here, you could put a dog here, you could put any animal there, and you would come up, you know, with something. So it's one of the... I mean, part of the reason why you have all these little templates is because, you know, comedy is almost this industrial process in which you thousands and thousands of jokes are created. And the way you create things is by sort of combining the parts. And so, I mean, so that's one of the ways that you do things. So you could have, you know, or it could be a doctor's office. And so if it's a rabbit, so you can make the doctor a rabbit. And if you make the doctor a rabbit, he's telling the human patient, eat more carrots. Mm-hmm. Or if it's if the patient's a cow with a bell, he's saying, I can help with the ringing in your ears. You know, so this is the way we make jokes. I mean, it's sort of maybe not so great to see how the sausage is made, but that's how it's done.
Thank you so much, Amy. And you'll be receiving the mugs for a radio show you never listened to, but it's okay.
Well, you've been on it. I can stream it, so I will be listening now. I'm aware of you, and I thank you so much for the opportunity. And just knowing that Robert Mankoff looked at one of my panels is a blast. So
thank okay,
you so
well,
much.
That's great. It really was my pleasure.
All right.
Thanks.
And Robert, an earlier winner said that the idea came to him in the shower. You seem to suggest that it's a matter sometimes of thinking through genres. But do you ever just walk... You know, you're on a train or you're on a bus or whatever, and an idea occurs to you, overhear somebody saying something?
Oh, well, I mean, definitely. The truth is ideas come to you in all different ways. You just simply have to be open to them. And I'd say the main thing is just wanted to... Humor's a type of play, but it's playing with cognitive concepts. So you just have to get into the mood of playing and just saying things that aren't true, thinking things that couldn't be, or exaggerating things and moving them around.
So do you write them down if you're on a bus and you overheard somebody say something that you realize would make for a good cartoon?
Well, you should, because I think now actually I probably have in my pocket somewhere a tiny little Olympus tape recorder to do that. So the thing is, when you think of a good idea, if you think you remember it, you often won't, unfortunately.
Yeah, you'll say, "Oh, I had a really great
idea.
Yeah,
right. I know it was great. You know it's great. You know it's the funniest thing you ever thought of, but you can't remember it."
Do you discard a lot?
Well, I mean, I think the difference in a way between someone who's an amateur and someone who's a professional is that an amateur thinks everything they do is great, and a professional thinks most of the things they do are crap.
One of the, I don't mean to segue to this from your saying that, but one of the winners, Errol Bay, never got back to us. We tried to contact everybody who won, but I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about his cartoon, which I thought was extremely clever.
Right, clever and sort of unusual, because it in a way has two captions. So it shows a man talking to his wife, who is starting to set the table, and he's saying, "Oh, honey, it's only Tuesday today." And she's saying, "Yes, but Iowa's having theirs on Wednesday." So it really brings together a lot of different things. Now, he called it also Thanksgiving Caucus, which, once again, I don't think is necessary.
Overkill.
Is overkill. And that's really sort of just clever, because he brought something from some completely different field. The other ones I thought were great also, but they really dealt with all the ideas we already have about Thanksgiving.
But this one is a joke about the primary season.
It's a joke about the primary
season. Which I thought, I really liked it.
Yeah. And what was his name again?
His name is Errol Bay.
Well, remember, Errol, those mugs are waiting for you.
Well, he'll get the mugs no matter what.
Okay.
If you are at all curious, anybody who's been listening to this, you can see all the submissions to the cartoon contest by going to our show page at WNYC.org. Do you have a favorite part of Thanksgiving? Are there certain things that make this holiday memorable for you, or is this just...
Well, I think in general, anything that can go wrong on Thanksgiving subsequently will be something that you can make funny, so I really look forward to that.
Well, I hope that hope that happens this year, because, you know, the cartoons haven't been as good recently, Robert, as they were.
Let's not end with that.
Just teasing you. Actually, I can't talk about a favorite that you did just recently, because it probably is not right for family family radio.
Although we can't talk about it, it was incredibly funny.
Now, one of the things that has changed is you used to do lots of little dots. You were kind of like the Surratt
right.
of cartoonists. And now they're more dashes. Just because you want to save time?
Well, I was outsourcing the dots to other countries, but the conditions in which they were creating the dots were turned out to be reprehensible. So I had to go back.
You had child labor
doing the dots and stuff like that. But actually, if you go back even further, it was really pointillistic, and it was too hard. It would take hours and hours. My ideas come too fast now for that.
Well, thank you so much for participating in this. It's always a pleasure to see you. Robert Mankoff, who is the cartoon editor of The New Yorker and one of the great cartoonists in his own right, also the creator of Cartoon Bank, which can be accessed by simply going to cartoonbank.com. And congratulations to all of our winners, and my regrets to all of you who failed. Happy Thanksgiving.
To all.